Have you ever gone through a great challenge in life? A challenge that when it hit, man, it was one of those things that you thought, there's no way I can get through this. There's nothing that I can see as far as an end in sight. And there's no way that this thing is ever going to come out in a decent way. If you, like most of us, have gone through some challenges like that, I hope and pray that as you have followed the Lord, you have had the opportunity to see God show up in an incredible way. That is one of the things that God is awesome at doing, is showing up particularly in the situations that seem like they're desperate, the situations that seem like they're so impossible. God wants to show up in those situations and show you who he is. Now today we're actually going to look at scriptures out of the book of Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to look at when Joshua was in a great challenge, that there's no way he was going to be able to take care of it on his own. It was going to have to be God to take care of it. Maybe you find yourself in that same situation. If you do, listen, grab that Bible, turn it to Joshua chapter 6, and we'll be back in just a second as we look at faith that brought down the walls. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your week is coming along well. As I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Joshua, the Old Testament book, Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to look at quite a few verses, but we're going to look at the story of Joshua and how faith brought down the walls. Now, a moment ago, I mentioned to you that we all go through circumstances, we all go through situations and times when, you know, it just seems like there's no answer to our solution. There's this crisis or whatever that's coming along in our life, and there's no way that we personally are able to contend with it. And we sit back and pretty much it's that situation when we think this, that if God doesn't intervene, then obviously this situation is a hopeless situation. I mentioned a moment ago that God loves to specialize in those type things. Let's take a look. We've been talking about the Exodus. We've been talking about when Israel left Egypt. They had been essentially roaming in the wilderness for 40 years, and it's coming time for them to come into the promised land. As they enter into the promised land, they're going to run up against an issue. They're going to run up against a problem or a challenge along the way, and that challenge was going to be the city of Jericho. Now remember, God said, this is the land that I've given you. This is the land that truly flows with milk and honey. But God didn't just make all their enemies disappear. You know, too many times we get to thinking that. We think that, well, God told us to do this, then everything should just fall right into place, and it will. But God also tests our faith at times to see where we are. He says, I want you to trust me. Remember what it was that he told Joshua. He said that when you enter that promised land, I'm giving you this land, but I'm not just going to make the enemies disappear. Yet you're going to have to go up against them. You're going to have the faith and the courage to go to battle, but I will make you victorious. Now, how many times for you and I today has God given us promises from his word? And we sit back and we say we believe this, and he makes this promise to us, but yet he's allowing us to take on a challenge, and that challenge is to grow and stretch our faith. Now, we have a choice. You know, we're either going to accept the challenge, and we're going to go forward and see what God's going to do, or we're going to be too afraid to accept that challenge, and we're going to stay right where we are. Now, I want us to look at this particular situation because it took faith on Joshua's part when it came down to the city of Jericho. Let's go ahead and pick up our reading. As I mentioned, we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to read the first 20 verses out of that particular passage. It says this. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its kings and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. Verse 5, it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. And so it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark, while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Verse 10, now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. And then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpet, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verse 18, and you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the sacred things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all of the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord, that they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, we are again grateful and thankful for the opportunity that you give us to be able to gather together in your name. Lord, I pray that your word would speak loudly to us today, that your Holy Spirit would just speak to our hearts. Father, we all come up against challenges and things that we just feel like there's no way without your intervention that we will be able to make it or survive. So, Lord, I just pray right now that we will have the faith to be able to trust you in a manner that you will get credit, that you will get honor, that you will get glory, and that, Father, you will draw us close to you. Lord, I pray right now that you will use me as your messenger for these moments, that you and you alone would be heard. Draw your people close and love on them as only you can, Father, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you look, this is a pretty interesting story when we begin to see what was going on. Now, remember, like I said, at this particular point, Israel has crossed into the promised land, but yet Jericho lie ahead of them. These were not folks that were friendly with Israel, and the Lord had said, this is the land that I am giving you. So, you know, essentially, they were going to have to wind up taking Jericho. So Joshua finds himself coming up against a great challenge. Now, remember, he has been the one who has replaced Moses as leader. The Jordan was flooded. God once again divided that so that they could pass through and cross into that promised land. And now Israel has to be led into Cana. That's what the Lord was saying to him. So essentially, the miracles began at once. If you look over in chapter 3 of the book of Joshua, you'll see that the Jordan River opened up before them and closed up behind them, just reminiscent of the Red Sea crossing. And this once again is confirming Joshua's authority under God. Remember, they had been following Moses, and Moses is now gone. Joshua has been promoted essentially to be the leader of the people. But yet, yeah, you know how it is. Anytime there's a new leader, sometimes people are a little bit hesitant. How do we know that this guy right here is the one that God has picked out? How do we know he's just not some power-hungry guy? Well, the Lord was confirming Joshua's authority in their midst and in their presence, because just like they had done previously with Moses, everything that Joshua was telling them was coming to fruition in the same way that when Moses told them what was going to take place, it happened, okay? But yet there was another miracle that was going to be needed to conquer Jericho. When you looked at Jericho and you read the description of it, this place was a fortress. It had high walls. I mean, it was one of those areas. And if you remember, there were some spies that went in there. Rahab gave them information. We see that in our scripture text today, that as they were to go in and take the city, they were to spare Rahab the harlot and all those who were with her, because she helped Israel with essentially their battle plan as they were coming in. So big challenge would lie before them. Now, you have to think there were men of valor, there were men of honor, there were men of war, and then all of a sudden when the battle plan gets laid out, I'm sure there was a lot of head scratching going on. So hold that thought for just a second, because what we find in this particular situation is that Joshua is being tested as a man of faith. Yet now it comes time to say, okay, it's not about what you say. It's about what I am going to say through you. It's not going to be your plan, Joshua. It's going to be my plan, but I'm going to use you to convey my plan to the people. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. Not only, when I look at my life, I sit back and think, anytime Roy's had a plan, it has never, ever, ever been God's plan. God's plan has always been something so different and so creative from my plan that there's no way you could ever mistake the two of them. And God wants you not to go forward with your plan. God wants you to go forward with his plan, okay? So what do we see in our scripture text today that teaches us some lessons, okay? First of all, we see that there is an opportunity of faith. In verses 1 and 2 of what we read, Jericho is standing in the way of the conquest of Cana. In other words, there is an obstacle. God says, here's the land I've given you, but there's going to be something in the way. Jericho is going to be in the way of that. Now, Jericho is a very strong city. It is a walled city. It's got high walls. The defenders of the city are also mighty men of valor. Superficially, if you looked at it, you would look at that and say, man, I'll tell you one thing, this is going to be difficult, if not impossible, to be able to take down Jericho. Now, humanly speaking, the options were clear. If you were part of the army and knew what the battle plans were, or knew what the tactics, war or combat tactics were, you would sit back and survey Jericho and say, well, we've got one of three choices to be able to take out this city. One of those is that we can scale the walls and, try to get in at night and just overtake them that way. The second thing would be that we could make a quick rush, we could beat down the gates and try to enter the city that way. Or the third way is that we could very quietly tunnel underneath at night and then come in and do a surprise attack on them. So, humanly speaking, you would sit back and say, based on the tactics, those would be the only three options that we would have in a way to be able to attack the city of Jericho. But yet faith offered up an alternative plan, just as in salvation. Joshua needed a faith builder, and he got one just the previous chapter in chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. For the sake of time, I won't read them, but jot that down, go back there and read that. Joshua got a faith builder. He had an encounter with an angel, the captain of the Lord's host. And the captain of the Lord's host gave him a promise, and this was the promise he gave him. He said, I have given into thine hand Jericho. Now, I mean, it doesn't get any plainer than that. I know you and I sit back all the time, and we sit back and say, well, you know what? I'd do a whole lot better at following the Lord if I heard his voice audibly, or an angel of the Lord appeared to me and spoke in a way that I could understand it. You know, if the Lord appeared to me and said, I have given into thine hand Jericho, we might be a little bit quicker to say, oh, okay, I've got the plan. I understand what it is, and I know what's going on. I'll go forward. Well, folks, God does still speak to you and I today. He does that through his word. He does it through prayer. He does it through our circumstances. He does it through messages of your church or messages like this Bible study that you're taking part of right now. He will speak to you as loudly and as clearly as if it were an audible voice. But we have to be still and listen to him. We've got to be in the areas where he can speak to us. Are you in his word? You know, are you spending that time in prayer? Yeah, are you spending time in church? Are you listening to godly counsel that's around you? Notice I said godly counsel, not just counsel. Godly counsel makes all the difference in the world. But yet, Joshua gets this big boost of confidence, and when the angel says to him, "I have given into thine hand Jericho." Okay, well, there's the victory. Now, a lot of us would sit back and say, "Well, if I heard that, I'd be good." Well, there are so many promises that God gives us in his word, and yet we still doubt those things. Has God not said, I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you comfortless for those who have lost loved ones like I recently have? Does God not promise you, I will take care of all of your needs, and yet we still worry about that? You know, does God not say, I will plot your course and I will keep you on that course? God has given us all these promises. We just have to be able to claim those promises and trust him. And how do we trust him? We trust him by faith. Now, we know what the technical definition of faith is. The technical definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, believing in something even when you can't see it. If you were part of Joshua's army and you heard the plan that we just read about how they were going to take Jericho, you would have probably been looking around at the people around you saying, is this guy okay? I mean, that's not really a plan at all. But faith offered an alternative, just as in our salvation. Think about it. God's promise is what made that victory sure. God's promise to you and I today is what will make that victory a sure thing. So, you know, when we think about these things, first of all, one of the lessons that we learn is that there was an opportunity of faith. You and I get those opportunities pretty much on a daily basis. But then secondly, there was the obedience of faith that we read about in our text in verses 3 through 14. Man, what a strange battle plan that was given to Joshua. Like I said, those soldiers had never heard a battle plan like that before. I mean, I'm sure they were gathered around thinking, hey, it's going to be one of those three. We're either going to climb the walls, we're going to knock down the gate, or we're going to tunnel in. It's got to be one of those three. Let's see which one Joshua's going to tell us it's going to be. And he said, it's not going to be any of those. That's not what the plan is going to be. Yeah, he says, what we're going to do is we're going to march around the city once a day for 6 days in a row. He says, then on the seventh day, we're going to march around the city seven times. And then when the priests blow the ram's horn, all are to shout. When I give you the order, everybody shout. I could imagine after he got done saying that, maybe with a little vim, vigor, and vitality, maybe with some excitement, Joshua says, here's the battle plan. This is the way that it's going to go. And then when he gets done, he goes, what do you think? And everybody's going, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. How's that going to work? So really, you're telling us just once a day for 6 days, we're just going to march around the city. And then on the seventh day, we're going to march around it seven times, blow horns and shout, and the walls are going to fall down. You see, humanistically speaking, that's impossible. There's no way that could take place. So I'm sure that there were probably those that were part of the army, a part of Joshua's army, that thought, this is stupid, but I mean, what are we going to do? How are we going to go forward? Think about the faith that was required to execute this plan. I mean, you know, you sit back and think, yeah, some people would have probably said, well, you know what, I think I'm going to be busy when y'all start doing that, because that's going to make me look crazy. But yet God said, this is the plan. It wasn't man's plan. You see, all of God's blessings come by faith. Remember faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Believing in something even when you can't see it. Our salvation comes by faith. What is it that the Word tells us? That we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is also what brings the answer to our prayers. Yeah, that may be another lesson for another day, but listen, when you pray and you're seeking God in regard to something, are you praying with faith, believing that God can do it? You know, I like what a prayer partner of mine said many, many years ago, and it has stuck with me literally every day of my life. Yeah, I heard him pray one time, and he said, "God, I know you can. The question is, will you?" In other words, is that part of your will, Lord? I know that there's nothing impossible with you. But faith is what brings the answers to prayer. Do you pray believing that God can take care of what your prayer need is? Or do you just haphazardly throw it out there to the Lord and say, "Well, it's probably not going to happen"? I mean, some prayers take a lot of faith. When you're praying for somebody that's sick or maybe has something like cancer that people say there's no known cure for, when you're asking God to heal them, do you really believe that God can do that? Are you praying with faith, believing that the Lord is who he says he is and can do what he says that he's going to do? Okay, faith is what brings the answer to those prayers. But here's something else, and this is what is critically important. Faith also requires obedience. You know, God often asks us to do something. I'm thinking in the Bible today, and some of you may know or remember the story of the healing of Nahum. Yeah, he was one of those guys who was kind of a highfalutin guy, and he went to the prophet, and the prophet, on behalf of the Lord, says, "Well, here's what you need to do. You need to go down and you need to dip into the river seven times." Well, because that seemed like an absurd way to cure his leprosy, he was like, "That's the dumbest thing I've heard." He got mad when he walked away, and then at one of his servant girls said to him, If God would have asked you to have done something great, would that have made a difference? Would you have gone on and done it? Had he asked you to do something, or had he waved his hands and done something magical, would that have made a difference? Why is it so hard for you just to follow the direction that the prophet gave you on behalf of the Father and just go down and dip into the water seven times? He said, "It's easy. It just didn't have the flash or the pizzazz that many of us oftentimes would think." But yet, when Nahum went down there and dipped in that water seven times, guess what happened? He became healed of his leprosy because he was obedient to what the prophet, what the Lord told him through the prophet to go do. How many times has God told us to do something and we think that it's silly or stupid or illogical or and we're like, "I'm not going to do that. That's just dumb." I believe too many times we leave our blessings on the table because we're not obedient to what the Father, or through, in our case, the Holy Spirit, tells us to do based on what God has ordered for us. Okay? Faith requires obedience. We just talked about Nahum. What about the servants that were carrying the pots for the wine at Cana when Jesus turned the water into wine? And they were told, "Well, go out and get pots of water." I mean, how'd you like that? "Well, what's this all about? You know, well, they don't want water, they want wine. This is a wedding feast. This is dumb. Why should I go do this?" What about the widow lady that had the sons, that her sons were getting ready to be taken as indentured servants? And she said, you know, to the prophet, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" And the prophet says, "What do you have?" And she said, "Well, all I have is this little jar of oil." Remember, it was told for her sons to go out and collect pots, not just a few. Go get as many as you possibly can. You see, there was a faith and obedience action right there. I believe with all of my heart, and well, let me finish the story. Anyway, when the pots came back, she took her sons in the room. She included them in the miracle, and she took that little pot of oil she had, and she began to fill the other pots, the other vessels, and she would pour that oil until those vessels were full, and she just, out of that one little vessel, kept on filling up the pots until they were full. And then she said, "Bring me another pot." And when her boys said, "Well, we don't have any more pots," the word tells us it was then that the oil ceased. In other words, I believe if there would have been another pot, there would have been more oil. If they would have only gone out and gotten four or five pots, that's where the miracle would have ceased. If they would have gone out and gotten 500 pots, I believe God would have filled each and every one of them. So you know what? Sometimes the degree of the miracle or the degree of the thing that God's going to do for us is wholly dependent upon how obedient we really are. By the way, there was enough oil that lady had after her sons had collected the pots that the prophet told her, go and pay back your fee so that your sons won't be taken away from you and live on the rest. There was an abundance of that. So, but again, I believe had there been more pots, there would have been more oil. That's the way God works. Yeah, the degree of what he did was also based on their degree of obedience and trust and faith into what he could actually do. What was it that Paul said in his prayer? Paul cried out in Acts 9:6. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? I'll do it. I'll be obedient to you no matter what it sounds like. It might seem silly. It might seem illogical, but whatever it is you ask me to do, I'm going to do. Do you have that spirit? Do you have that attitude as well? Man, how strange this must have appeared to those in Jericho when people, they saw their enemy walking around the walls and they were probably going, what's going on here? It's the craziest thing that I have ever seen. Yeah, doesn't that sound like something that happens to you and I today? The world doesn't understand obeying God in faith. The world doesn't understand that whatsoever. They look at us and they think that we are the craziest people on the face of this planet. And yet, those are the times when God wants to show up the biggest and do the best in our lives, okay? So what else do we see out of our scriptures today? We see the overcoming power of faith in verses 15 through 20. It says, on the seventh day, that was the day of victory. Yeah, I've often wondered, I mean, could you imagine being part of that and you went out and marched that one time around each day and you were sitting there maybe even the whole time going, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. This is crazy. Why are we doing this? And then not seeing anything any different between day one and day six, but then day seven rolls around, okay? They marched around that city seven times that day instead of one. And then the priest blew their trumpets, and the people shouted, and the scripture tells us the walls fell flat. I mean, that's a God thing. God just went and just flipped those walls and they all just came crashing in, allowing access that the city might be taken over. Folks, let me tell you this. Victory comes in God's time and victory comes in God's way. It's not going to be on your time or my time. It's going to be on God's time and it's going to be done his way. How many times do people look at those situations? And by the way, he also gave some other orders in regard to Jericho. He said that when you go into that city, when you take it over, he said, you're not going to plunder this city for yourself. By the way, plundering was not something that was unusual back in that day. When they took over a city, they would go in and pretty much take whatever they wanted for themselves. God said, the gold, the silver, the garments, all those things, you're not going to take those. He said, those will be dedicated to the house of the Lord. Now, that becomes a part of the story a little bit later on when we find one of the brothers who took some stuff following the battle of Ai, they knew something was wrong. Now, again, that's another lesson for another day. We'll get to that later. But the bottom line was the Lord says, you're not going to take anything out of Jericho for you. The stuff that's going to come out of Jericho is for the house of the Lord. Okay, so that's just a little tidbit for as we go forward. But folks, the bottom line in this situation is that victory comes in God's time and it comes in God's way. Now, let me share this with you. The same holds true in your life and my life. When we are seeing those obstacles, when we're seeing those things and those challenges in our lives, victory is going to come God's way and it's going to come in God's time. Even though you think that you may be suffering, there is a reason why God is allowing you to go through things. And by the way, it might be that he is getting things in order for your victory. There's some things that God needs to take care of while he has you in that holding pattern. Trust him. Rest in him. That is one of the greatest things that we can do because he is going to bring us victory, but he's only going to do it in his way and he's going to do it in his time. So today I want to ask you this. What are your greatest obstacles? What are the things that you are dealing with right now? Things that are right up in your face. What is going on? Let me encourage you through God's word and through our scripture text today that you can expect to overcome through the power of Christ. Only through the power of Christ, not in and of yourself, not even of the people around you, but through Christ, you can have an expectation to overcome through the power of our Savior Jesus Christ. He has won the greatest victory. The greatest victory ever won was at the cross when he conquered sin, death, and hell all at the same time through his crucifixion and his resurrection. And thanks be to God, someday he's going to call us out to be with him and we will be able to spend forever with him only if you know him. Have you trusted Christ today? Has there been that time? I didn't ask if you were religious. I didn't ask if you were a church person. I didn't ask if you were a preacher, a deacon, a choir member, any of those other things. I'm asking you if you have that personal one-on-one relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ. Has there been that time when you have confessed, Lord, I am a sinner, and because of my sin, what I deserve is death and hell. But thanks be to you, God, you sent your son to die on that cross for my sins, all past, present, and future. And Lord, today, I'm asking you to forgive me. Come into my life and save my soul. Help me, Father, to live for you. Can you say that prayer today? If you haven't, I'm begging you, whatever you're doing, stop what you're doing and put your trust in the Lord. A simple prayer to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me. Forgive me. Help me live for you. In Jesus' name. And I promise you that if you meant that with all your heart, then today your day was written in the Lamb's book of life. And there is a celebration. It says the Bible tells us there's rejoicing of all the saints in heaven over the saving of one soul. Heaven is rejoicing today. Now, help, but listen, if you've trusted Christ, please contact us through the website. I would love to be able to get you some information to help disciple you along the way. I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to just, you know, but I want to help you along the way with your journey. I believe so many people think salvation is just something you, well, I checked a box, I prayed with the pastor. No, it's about having a personal relationship with a holy God through Christ. We want to help you with that. Please, please, please. Let us know if you trusted him and realize that victory comes in God's time and it's going to come in his way. He has won that great battle. Trust him to bring victory to you in the midst of your circumstances. Okay? In just a minute, I'm going to close this out in a word of prayer, but I do want to share with you what we're going to be looking at next week and give you the scripture text. I think last week I may have forgotten to tell you what that scripture text was. But at any rate, what we're actually going to be looking at this week, I want you to look at John's Gospel. We're kind of moving out of the Exodus part of things, but John's Gospel, chapter 14, okay? We're going to deal next Wednesday with verses 1 through 6 out of that particular chapter where we're going to discuss a text for troubled hearts. I know that all of us have been in this situation. Many of us have throughout our lives heard this particular text before. But it's been of great comfort to me, particularly here lately. I just want to share that with you. So please join us next week. By the way, if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to join us at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. This coming Sunday, services start at 10:45 a.m. We would just love to have you join us as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And as always, if there's anything whatsoever that we can do or anything we can pray for you about, please, please, contact us through our website. Let us know. And even if you're in this area, we'd love to even sit down with you and be able to meet with you face to face. But at any rate, listen, I love you. I pray that you're going to have a great rest of your week. I pray that your new year has started off right, that most of us make that resolution, and we want this new year to be something very, very special. I pray that God is going to give you a great, great year of 2024. Let me pray with you, and then we'll get on out of here. Father, we come to you now. We ask that you help us to trust you. Lord, help us as you strive to build our faith in you. Lord, I pray that as we encounter the obstacles, just as Joshua did with Jericho, that even when they look so big and so insurmountable, that, Lord, when we turn it over to you, we trust you. You've got a plan. You're going to show us that plan. You're going to execute that plan. And, Lord, it's going to be done in your time. It's going to be done your way. But thanks be to God. When all is said and done, there will be victory. Lord, I pray that you will encourage your children today as only you can. That's what we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. I hope and pray that we have an opportunity to see you Sunday.